Saffron Planet. Making sense of it.
How many
all.
Of you here know that we're in the middle of a world revival of Christianity?
Haven't they practiced that every century?
That's so exciting, Ribbon Biscuits.
Well, I'm afraid God TV and many others are saying this is the biggest revival that's ever hit the UK. We're saying, okay, Welsh revival.
The Welsh revival
100 years ago, actually, you had people falling down outside the arenas or whatever, and pubs emptied, singing hymns in the mines. This is the outcome of the Welsh revival.
How long did that take, though? That couldn't have been an instant thing.
I think it took six months, but
you were there in that point of history at that time, mm-hmm. and you were watching it unfolding. Yeah. I'm just wondering how it started. Was it small? How did it grow? What happened to people?
Just one or two people.
The legacy from that will this current.
Yeah, this is
have
this
the
is what I'm trying to sort.
As, like the Toronto
you've
messing,
all slowed yeah. me right down. I was just that was just a parenthesis, like the Welsh revival, comma. And I was going to say, and the Methodists, you know, John Wesley and all that. You know, this is supposed to be bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we need to know this. And the funny thing is that most Christians don't even know about it.
Is it bigger because it's on God TV and they're projecting it to the world?
It's in every country of the world, virtually.
How
thankfully.
Do you judge a revival? Because it's not like the scale of revival. I'll
explain what it's all about. Because apparently, back in April, there's a chap called Todd Bentley, who's this Canadian, covered with tattoos. They call him the Illustrated Man. He was doing a series of talks in Texas, a place called Lakeland. Is it Texas?
No, Florida.
Florida, a place called Lakeland in Florida. And even though his ministry is based on revival and healing, whatever, anyway, something happened in Lakeland that was different in that more and more people came and he experienced lots of healings and miracles. And as a result, they just kept the thing going. And I think now it's been going for about nearly 2 months. Moved to a bigger arena. They're there virtually permanently. And what it is, it's your typical stage, you know, with a man sort of talking about revival. There's very little preaching. But supposedly loads and loads of miracles and healings going on. And the thing that's most controversial is that people are coming from all over the world and he lines them up and he imparts, this is the impartation, puts his hands on them and sort of goes bam, and the Holy Spirit transfers all the anointing to these people who take it back to their own country. And apparently as a result of that, it's now in Dudley. Yeah. It's exploded in Dudley in the Midlands. And a friend of mine's been there twice and said it's authentic. So why don't we know about it, and why hasn't it really impacted our nation?
Well, we do know about it now.
Yeah, now you do, but you didn't before. But you knew.
The word of
it's only May still.
Yeah.
Or was it April last year?
No, April didn't know. But it's been shown, God TV has shown it everywhere. I mean,
but not everybody has got...
No other revival has had the media propagating
it.
It hasn't
reached the headlines.
It's not the secular media.
Not the secular world. No.
Does something being in the media make you believe it more or less? If sometimes you see something on TV and it almost
makes you able to cast that judgment.
Yes, right. Yeah, because you're not seeing snippets. You can actually sit and watch the whole service. The whole evening, you just watch it and make your own judgment.
In fact, they cancelled all the other programmes, didn't they? They just gave the whole scheduling, you know, threw it out the window and they took over.
They're now using it to sort of as a fundraising exercise. Pay $7 a day to keep revival going, as if God needs money to keep the revival
going.
Really? Yeah, that's the actual terminology they're using. What they mean is keep the revival going on God TV throughout the world, you know. But it's weird. People have been touching their television sets and getting healed. But what do we say to that? Do we say that if it's real, we should be following it? If it's not real, then it's possibly the biggest deception the church has ever seen, because it's affecting thousands upon thousands of people all over the world. And from our point of view, the Bible does speak of apostasy and deception in the last days. And if it is so, then this is a real biggie. And a lot of people are going to be upset of us just even mentioning this on the air.
Yeah, be very careful what you say about this.
I know. It's a bit of a contentious
issue.
We're
always careful what we say. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the most politically correct.
What do you mean? You mean is you edit it out?
Is it real?
Yeah.
Right. Well, where do you stand on this?
How much of it is down to the individual that goes up there? Right, because someone will go up to have a healing or whatever, and I think it's all down to that person's attitude. Because if they have their heart open to God, yeah. you don't open your heart to the person speaking there and his revival technique. Mm. You don't open your heart to a revival, that's stupid. Mm. You open your heart to God, and God does what he wants, whether that's silence or whether that's, you know...
But you don't need to go to revival to do that.
No,
do that
but for those that do go to something like that, you know, sometimes you do need a space, an atmosphere, not an atmosphere, because it's not to do with people, it's not to do with hype, but you need to set aside a time where you're going to open up and spend time with God, because in life,
yeah, I don't
you know,
think that happens. In
but
this.
I don't know if that's what's happened.
It's
but
noisy.
If someone willingness, no, it's also to do with our willingness to stop what we're doing. And go. I mean, even in Jesus' time, someone might have just been fishing in a boat and thought, well, I go up that hillside. Yeah. Well, what did he miss? If he said, oh, I've got to do my fishing today, he missed the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's our willingness to go, isn't it? I mean,
there's that aspect. Now, I'm a little bit concerned. Yeah, well, thing is, it's in your area tomorrow in Tunbridge. They're calling it an impartation service in a church in Tunbridge. I imagine now Kit, oh sorry, I must mention your name on there, but he's been to a person, went, this is someone that we respect very highly and I've known him for 20 years or whatever. He went to the one in Dudley twice. Both times it was a 7-hour journey there and back, having to come back in all through the night. He was up willing to go there and test it out. He went with his daughter, and his daughter is she's a believer, but she's a psychiatrist, so someone who uses their head and can see through emotionalism and all that. Well, he said when they were there, she was totally zapped and sort of slid down the wall and was out for 10 minutes. So and she said, you know, God spoke to her during that time. So you have the evidence of someone that you know has been there. So it's not just a bunch of lunatics. You know, so it's a difficult one to think about.
Well, I've been to things like you sort of come to some sort of Christian weekend away or summer camp things, and it's a similar sort of thing. And I think it's all because you want to connect with God. And then the danger is how much of that, therefore, is if you open your mind to the concept of meeting something, do you meet something? But I think at the same time, God does require you to open up your heart and be willing, but not to expect what's going to happen to be what you've seen. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if I watch on TV, if I go and if I see people on TV, you know, falling on the floor, and that's what I expect, then I immediately limit God. Yeah. But actually, God might just want to quietly say, you're doing all right.
I think most people are there because they see all these tremendous things and probably want to be a part of it.
The problem is,
You know, is God limited to certain areas? That's what concerns me. You know, obviously, at the time of Jesus, when he was around, where he was, that's where he was. But here, do we have to go to Dudley? Do we have to go, you know, I don't know.
Is there a precedence in the Bible at all? There isn't anything, is there, where Jesus imparted?
That's true.
Between an individual and God. Because, you know, you talk about revival, which is good in that we're... But all the revival is lots of individuals gaining a relationship with God. And that can happen on a one-to-one level with five people in a room. Mm. The only reason why we've given it the term revival, it's not that thousands of people are all doing something together. It's actually that thousands of individuals are individually finding God.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily need to do that in a big room. You can do that one person in a room with God.
The only way to know if it's authentic is if there's any lasting effect.
And to test it.
Are there lots of people... you know, becoming believers.
Well, they say that. They say groups have gone outside the stadium and people will become believers just like that.
Yeah,
they say that.
You
can't see it, can you? Because it's internal.
That's why we have to keep an eye on testing.
You have to test things against Scripture. And also, the problem I see is that we believe the physical... See, we all talk about how it's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. But then, we all, as Christians, flip out when we see God do something physical as if that's the most amazing thing. Whereas for me... someone that's got over a really horrific issue in a family or a death or something. That, for me, if they've got through that in God, that is as powerful, if not more powerful, than someone that's just fallen down on the floor. But we've come to this point where if we see something physically, then that's super God, and anything else is just not.
The reason why that is, something that you would say is miraculous that happens to people mentally, is that does happen to other people, but something that
you can see physically happening, yeah. Right. Doesn't
you
normally
can't see
happen.
Internally, you can't say, "Oh, that person's got a better relationship with God now." I can
right?
See.
No.
Oh, hallelujah! Yeah.
No. But also, calling it a revival and actually watching it on the TV, it's not what I would put down to being a revival. I mean, if it was truly a revival, I think there should be more preaching and a bit more content. But at the moment, what we're looking at is just people on stage falling over. And
not just falling over. I mean, healing. I mean, they are being healed. Well, that's what the main thing is that there are so many healings going on.
The showmanship is there. It's the physical. There's music.
You don't learn anything from it if you watch.
No,
it.
There's loads of worship. And I saw something. There's one clip. You can go to YouTube and you can see this clip. I can't remember. It's the first one about the revival, and you see a bloke coming up on the stage with a Bible, going to preach, and starts preaching, and everyone's still talking, ignoring, you know, people in the arena, so much so that the elder comes on and says, "Look, we all know you just want to listen to, you want to worship, but you've got to listen to the word." So it's like the atmosphere is such that they're not prepared to listen to the word. And when he did start preaching, he mentioned one verse, and then spent the rest of the time talking about the revival, rather than, so there was no teaching.
Surely, if God wanted to stage a revival, he would put some content that people could actually watch it on TV and actually learn
absolutely
from it.
So to you me, can't that become
it's
a
not
believer.
A genuine
you can't become a believer just
no
through
teaching.
Your heart.
Yeah.
You got to know about, repentance. You got to know what it's all about.
Hang
the mechanism.
The point
of
conviction, though, of recognizing your sinfulness is just you can't explain. Can you? It is an instant.
People that haven't got to that point yet still need to.
Doesn't mean they have knowledge.
People still need to be enabled to.
Everyone had a Christian education, even though they weren't Christian. This country and the world's country was a Christian country, and you knew your Bible stories. Mm. You knew what you had to be a Christian, but you just ignored it. So when the Welsh revival came, they knew what was expected of them. They knew it was the sins that they had to deal with. But nowadays, the ordinary person doesn't know that. So that's why there needs to be teaching.
It talks about the Spirit of God sort of changing the heart of people, yet at the same time in the Bible it says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and you can get a mixture of the two in that God will work in your heart, but then you will need to continually measure yourself against Scripture, because where the Spirit dwells, also you yourself can create fault. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you have to have the Word, because if you just rely on, "Oh, God's change my heart." Well, yeah, he will, but the heart
away.
It won't be
away.
Perfect. Yeah. No, it will not irreversibly.
It needs to be the mind and the spirit. It needs
the
to
whole
be
signs and wonders thing. Signs and wonders should follow, but it's an evil generation that seeks signs and wonders.
Yeah.
So signs and wonders are things that supposedly come after change.
Yeah, and there's no.
And yet people are seeking the signs. Like, I'm not dismissing it, because you don't want to sort of cynical about it.
I think
it.
People are being healed.
It is. No, it's testing everything against Scripture. It's all you have to.
I think people are really they are being healed there. People are being. I'm sure of it. It's just too much. They can't all be lying. They can't all be emotional.
No, I'm not saying that people aren't being healed. No.
But again, as we've talked about before, and I'm not suggesting this is what's happening. But there is such things as false healing, there's healings that, so healing isn't necessarily if those healings stay and those people become deeper into their faith and stuff, that's one thing, but.
Yeah, it does happen. It depends on what happens afterwards, because I can imagine, it's a bit like when Jesus said to, when he healed, he went over and forgave someone's sin, didn't he, in front of the teachers of the law, I think, or the religious leaders, and they said, "Well, that's Caesar. You can say those words."
The roof.
I don't know. I don't know if was it.
That was that one, because it is all about forgiveness, and it's it's easy to sort of heal someone.
Yeah, he said, "Well, you can." But, he was saying it's easy for you to say, "I forgive your sin." So then he went on to heal. He went on to heal to say, "Well, okay, you say it's easy for me to say that, but I'm going to actually heal him now," and you can see.
Yeah. Is there a danger that with the word revival, that we decide to chuck onto it, we market it, and B, we give people a right to not think about it. It's like, oh, well, it's been called a revival. Revivals are good, therefore this
sort of,
must be...
Sort of devalued the word in a way.
But also, we just sort of accept it because, oh, well, it's been called a revival, and that's a that's a big term, so that's bound.
We're comfortable with that word.
Yeah.
So it's not something that we have to...
And we naturally trust it. Does that make sense? A preacher, oh, we're having a revival.
It has,
it's
like, become a marketing phenomenon.
Then.
You can get Florida revival... wallpaper on the computer. The t-shirts will come and the I was there. They have their own slogans. It's about come and get some. That's their slogan.
Well, again, it's like where does it fit in the whole thing over the years? You know, we've seen the Kansas City Prophets. We've seen the Toronto Blessings. The gold teeth thing phenomenon.
Apparently, that's coming in Dudley. The gold stuff's coming back in again.
Really,
the fillings. Gold teeth. Yeah, the fillings.
Now, see, I mean, I just think you've got to keep an eye on it and just, you know, is in the end, are, you know, the elect being deceived?
Yeah.
Is in it order to make them look foolish to the
so
world?
So we all decided to go to Tunbridge.
Yeah.
And we all get
that. Yeah.
What
then?
What
then?
Is a wonder. Like,
and how will it affect you?
Something like sort of the gold teeth and fairy, not fairy dust, but like dust that falls. And, I've spoken to people that, and you know, genuine believers. And you sort of, the thing you've got to look at it as is it a God affirming wonder? And I can't answer that, do you know what I mean? Because A, it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
And B, how can you judge something that promotes God and something that deceives you from God?
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to go at. But with all wonders, you have to go, is this a God-affirming wonder?
Well, I think
if it's actually if it's believers that are experiencing all these things,
then it's not a revival.
Is it ultimately somewhere along the line making Christianity look more foolish?
Yeah,
that's what
I haven't seen any secular mention of it. But I'm sure when they do, they'll have an absolute field day.
Society around them, I mean, crime and teenage drunkenness. And
I've written an article on southwantplanet.net, and it's concentrating on this Dudley thing because Dudley the bloke said this is the biggest revival ever. People will be going to the streets. The nation will be changed. So I thought, well, let's go to the Dudley News or something, the local newspaper on the web, look at the news items. Now, if they're taken to the streets, then there will be evidence of Christians in the streets evangelising or whatever.
Well,
there wasn't. All the news items were about, you know, the Lord's to do with taxes and two people got run over. Probably ran out, the revival got ran over. but the fact is, there has to be evidence, and it has to affect the nation as well to be a revival.
You can always say that maybe it's the devil that's preventing the reporting and, you know.
No, preventing
it from getting out there.
What is the point of a revival? This is my question. Mm. Is it to have lots of people individually find a relationship with God? Is it to strengthen those that are already believers, or is it to be a visible sign to those that aren't believers? Because I think there are those that go as Christians wanting to experience God and just basically fill up and say, oh, guess what, my teeth flew away. And then there's other people that want to bring people in and gain a relationship with God through what they see and through meeting with God at this event.
Yeah.
And there's a third one, which is they want something to happen so that those outside see it and go, that's interesting. Which one of these, or is it a mixture of all three? Do we want to bring people to God individually? Do we want to bring people individually to God?
You have to be honest. If a non-believer went to that arena and saw what we saw on the television, they would be laughing their heads off. But they're playing the same songs all the time, again and again. And then all the showmanship.
Yeah.
I mean, this bloke, the illustrated man, the way that he's working. Benny Hinn touches someone and they go flying. This bloke, he headbutts them.
I've not seen a headbutt. And he stomachs them in their stomach.
Not always, but I think when they don't go down when he touches them, he resorts to
other
measures.
I have seen him work very hard to get someone to fall over. I must say, if we don't go, it gives him the next. Go back again. But there are other
manifestations, physical manifestations. His head. Everyone on the stage, they start their heads go sway backwards and forwards. I know that is that right?
I must say this is what it's made me think about what we pray for in our local church, and what you were starting to say just now just made me I thought he's verbalising again what I'm thinking. When you have your weekly prayer meeting in your local church, one of your prayers is for your church to impact the area around you, to revive your church, to have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to get out there, to make strengthen us, to get out there, to impact our community. That is what local churches pray for. So what are we expecting? What are our expectations when we pray for revival locally? What are our expectations? Suddenly to be bold and be knocking door to door. Surely we have to step out and do it anyway.
Yeah.
We have to step out and do those things. What are we waiting for? An extra energy?
They're actually saying that just those that are impacted by this revival will have this extra power to evangelise. There's nothing too wrong, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant to give you extra power, but other things is that they say, I think, at least a dozen people have been raised from the dead, actually, in Florida as a result of this. No, I mean, I was listening to it yesterday. Got up to a dozen now. Yesterday, on the broadcast, yesterday. And that, you know, and you go to the website, just type in Florida Revival or Uprising. Outroaring. What was it? outpouring. Well, it might be as a result of it. I don't know. Revolution.
Well, it's a bit weird. You know how you talk about the Canada revival, Toronto blessing. Is it literally, are we experiencing God deciding on individual places to be the start of something?
Yeah.
Because there's just something. I think God works. I think God works on an individual level rather than a. I think he does work in a nation, but I don't think he goes, right, next few years, it's Wales' time, Dudley's time.
The exception to that was with John Wesley, and this is the Methodists, and working just through two or three men, they preach all over the country on the horseback. And the whole
get away from his wife, isn't it? Apparently.
You're part of it, yeah, apparently. But the outcome of that is that there's evidence that England would have actually had a revolution like the French and the Americans. But that actually revived the whole nation.
Again, it's the individuals rather than an event in a city. It's not.
But they wouldn't have had the exposure in those days, would they? At the same time,
you could say that God isn't restricted by a specific method.
God works how he wants to work.
Yeah, however he wants to work, you know. Yeah.
But I think the danger is of God. That's all.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line. Yeah. Is it of God, or is it something that. Are more people becoming Christians? I mean, more than the healing.
Genuine.
That's why we've got to look at Dudley. We have to look at Dudley. And to see if nothing's happening in that area.
What's happening in the local paper every week, and seeing what's happening.
And see if it just fizzles out or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean,
could have picked a better place.
But there's been amazing things happening with, you know, the Alpha courses and things like that. Now, you could say the Alpha course, when it first started, if you look back over the years from when it started, has that caused a revival?
Yeah.
Through little pockets of people coming into churches and a silent little revival, you know,
others
a quiet...
Would say, certain people who I, you know, sort of respect in a way, that God would never send a revival here because... And we talked about this earlier, this country has gone going to the dogs so much so. We were talking earlier about abortion and the human fertilisation bill, how we're the worst, we lead the world in abortion and dodgy legislation. Yeah. And, you know, the country, the teenage pregnancy, you know, everything is the worst. Why would God allow revival? Well, I thought we need revival, I suppose. Yeah. But they'd say repentance should come first. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, they always say repentance should come only when the people of the country get on their knees, or the Christians do. Then God will act. Like that's a certain way of thinking.
That might be what's happening. Like, it's a bit like Thingamajig went to Nineveh, which was so bad that he would rather drown than go there. Do you know what I mean? But he will send his light into the darkest place, because in the way If you've got little,
and it's that's where it shines
brightest. He's not called himself a prophet or anything, is he? He's not saying turn away from your evil ways. He's not speaking out against evils of our society now, is he?
He's not like a preacher. He's not a preacher as we know it.
He's navel gazing, I think, quite a lot. Yeah. In fact, I think the whole thing is very
very internal. It's not hellfire and brimstone stuff. You don't hear of hell.
Away
you
from this, no, this it's nation's, not. You know, yeah, power this nation is.
Is it just waiting on people to experience God?
It's about experience.
Because experiencing God out of context is dangerous.
Another case. I saw him being interviewed on the Sid Roth show, which is a Jewish believer. This is on YouTube as well. You can watch that. And as he's been interviewed, Sid Roth looks around and says, "I can feel God's presence. There's a heaviness in here." And Todd Bentley said, "My hands are tingling, and I've got healing power in my hands." And then he looked at the camera, and then just goes for a whole load of people who are watching. "You've been healed of this. You've been healed of that," and sort of pushing his powers.
Do you think that would work on YouTube? Because it's like recorded. Do you think that still has the power? Do you think?
That's what you're talking about. It doesn't have to be live. No,
the thing is
that this was him outside of Florida taking it into a studio. It's like it's following him around. So I don't know. It's called Todd Bentley Florida Uprising.
The thing about experiencing God, if you don't have... if you don't have a new relationship with sin, you don't have a new relationship with God. You know, that's sort of the general thing. When you enter into a relationship with God, you should change and receive a new attitude from him. The things that you once loved, you now hate. And the God you once hated, you now love. Now, if you, through no context, are experiencing something spiritual, weird, whatever you want to call it, and then just leave that room the next day, have you actually changed anything about your core beliefs? You know, do you now... love and understand and want to follow in faith this God that you never knew, or do you just feel a bit weird and tingly?
And if it has done something to you, you don't need to go back the next day. But I bet they're all going back every day, and just for the experience. It's a blast.
Now praying not to have the experience again, but actually praying for God to give you strength just through the day. It would be ridiculous if people spent, you know, a year just going to this thing and not being in the world. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what Christians are called to do. What you do is you should experience God, and through that have the strength to just live day by day normally. These are not supposed to be normal experiences. These are supposed to be not one-offs, but experiences with God that build you up, so you can
life changes. But it changes. I mean, it is sort of to fill you up with the Holy Spirit,
so that you can continue.
And then you and go away and make a change in your life
and learn to be able to discern exactly how much of that you need at that point. Anyway,
and strengthen you to be in the world but not of it, rather than just in church on the floor all the time.
Do you think something like that flourishes nowadays more easily? Because we are in an instant society, that we want things quickly. Because it's hard work to sit every day and be obedient and read your Bible and work it out day by day. Sit down, read God's word, let it penetrate, let God minister, God teach. Isn't it easier to go along on, you know, up there and
have a quick zap?
Young people, as a young-ish person, young people are more interested in... the experience and the culture of being a Christian than actually knowing God, because you can slot into the culture and learn nothing and still think you're a Christian and not be saved, because your life hasn't been changed by God. You've just had a few weird experiences, or people have told you that something's happened to you, or you've prayed a prayer and that's got it. But actually it's about living a life that pleases God, and that's not always going to be a mountaintop experience.
People like being a Christian as a status symbol as well.
Absolutely.
And it's like,
especially in America.
It's like Johnny wanting to be a vegetarian because he just loves the fact that he's a vegetarian. I was going to say, what if somebody in Tunbridge Wells or up in Dudley was to stumble into the church and not realising what was going on and actually get zapped?
Yeah.
Would they be able to sue the church? On assault, or you know, because if they didn't want it, if they weren't expecting it, could they sue?
Well,
who would they sue?
The church.
God? Okay. Yeah.
There was a film. The film was Billy Connolly suing God, didn't it? Yeah. Oh, never mind.
The man who sued God.
The man who sued God.
Quite simple to the point title, I'll be honest with you.
What it says on the tin. I think, okay, what we're basically saying is we can only judge it by the fruits, and next time we meet up, let's look at it again and see what effect has happened.
We'll keep buying the Dudley News.
Yeah. I'll get it on the internet.
I'll get the Dudley Views.
And the fruits aren't what's happening, like in the church on the floor, people sliding about.
No, in society.
Ongoing, in society, legacy.
And see whether the churches in the area have shown unnatural rises in congregation, you know,
and individuals actually. Changing.
Okay, that's
watch
done.
Watch this
space. Okay, it's a funny story here.
So you're not going to go to Tunbridge? the Tunbridge?
It's near, is it near you? Tonbridge. Near Seven
Oaks. No. That's T-U-N and the other one's T-O-N.
This is T-O, yeah. T-O-N.
Tonbridge, yeah.